Hello, you're listening to a Zen Studies Society podcast. To learn more about our community of Zen Buddhist practitioners, please visit zenstudies.org.
Shūmannakattōshu Daigojukusoku Kōkedachu Entangling Vines, Case 59 Kōkes Hold the center. A monk asked Koke Zonsho, "What should one do when things come from every direction?" The master said, "Hold to the center." The monk bowed. The master then said, "Yesterday, as I was on my way to a dinner in the village, I was caught in a sudden storm with heavy rain and violent wind. So I headed for an old shrine and found shelter." Oan Donge commented. The assembly considered the matter and said, "Taking shelter in an old mausoleum refers to the self that precedes the kalpa of emptiness, or to the place where Koke attained peace of mind and fully realized his original nature." Little did they know that Koke, his purse filled with 100,000 in cash, mounted a crane and went down to Yangshu. Good sunny, chilly afternoon of truly fall and autumn having arrived without any doubt. The open door to the Zendo delivered that message this morning without the need of a single word. None of us had to think about it. That's all it takes. And that's why we come here. That's why we come here, so we can get into that relationship, in this intimacy with what is always there for us to be present with. It's a really awesome thing to have 40 plus human beings come together in the middle of nowhere, get up when it's dark, go to sleep when it's dark, and engage in this kind of a practice. It is truly rare. And I hope that is not lost on any of us. Even when the chill comes, that is the teaching that happens without anyone having to say anything. However, I have to sit up here, and if I could give you the chills, I would. Let's see. No, it's not working. So I have to speak a little bit, and we have heard wonderful words in the previous 3 days, beginning with Ryoju Sensei, followed by Shingiroshi's golden wind, a revelation in itself, and Hokuto Osho's words from yesterday. Well, what can I do? I will do what I always do. I go to the next case in the book, and that is case 59. And that is not to say that anything is forced about this, like in this practice. It is a choice. And I hope we can all arrive at that understanding of being here by choice and making that choice over and over again. There is this thing that we call this decisions, you know? Decisions, they are like large stakes of wood that we somewhere drive into the ground and chain ourselves to. I have decided to come here. That's how I started. I went to the first session and I decided to go there, and I went there. And I knew about, oh, okay, I'm chained to this. I'm stubborn. I'm not going to leave. It was horrible. I'm sure you have heard it, but this is how it started. I remember going to sleep. I lied down upstairs. It was a two-story building that used to be a retirement home for the blind that just had turned over into the first Buddhist center in Austria. So the decor was rather lacking. Let's say it that way. There was no running water on the second floor. The zendo used to be the stable where the horses were. And it smelled that way. And so I lied down and the light went out, and ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, as soon as my eyelids touched, somebody ran around with a bell and said, okay, put my robes on and go quickly to the zendo, like a good Zen student. They told us to bring two pairs of shoes, so I left one downstairs and I had one there, and I went down the wooden stairs, and I didn't know yet, so I had clogs. So I went down the stairs, boom, 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 and one of the officers was standing at the bottom and yelled at me, quietly! Already, yes. You're yelling at me to be quiet? That's a good start. So, okay. So I started going fast. Quickly! Pick one. I made it through morning service. And I knew breakfast was coming next. And it was a real gruel meal. Maybe it should have been spelled with a C, yeah? It was served, it went into the bowls, we sat on the floor, and there it was. And it was not this kensho that people have when they suddenly look at the gruel meal, oh, this is myself. No, it was, what is this? Chopsticks, how can I eat this with chopsticks? So I took my chopsticks and I put them in it and I pulled it up and it didn't break. At that moment, I looked at it and the thought popped into my head, you're gonna die here. So it started. I somehow ate it and I had decided I would stay. So decisions are good sometimes and might turn into choices. But this was a good decision, and I made the right choice to just continue through that session, and all kinds of things, seeing. Why was this vision of this lady so disturbing? Much later, I figured out she had a beard and all kinds of other things. So I made it through it. Finally, it was over. I had planned my escape many, many times. I had visualized myself sneaking down to the train station with my suitcase. But I never acted on it. I didn't make a choice to leave. And so the teacher, Genro Seon Osho, afterwards spoke to me and said, "How did you like it?" It was very interesting. And in my head, the sentence continued. "But you won't see this guy here ever again." Finally, I made it down to the train station, sat down on the train, ready to act on all the cravings that had kept me alive throughout the weeks. And the train started, da-dum, 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 da-dum. And poof, the cravings were gone. I looked out the window, and it was like in The Wizard of Oz. A two-dimensional black and white gray landscape had turned into a radiant, colorful Technicolor world. And that was it. I had to go back. I had to go back and walking on the zigzag path, we heard. We all walk these zigzag paths, but eventually we end up, you know where? Right here, right now. And my zigzag path brought me from Europe to America to study with Joshu Roshi. And as people get old, they stop teaching. And as people don't get old quickly enough like myself, I needed more teaching. And I needed to fill the vessel of the vow to the fullest extent that I can fill it. So when my ordination teacher, Joshu Roshi, retired from teaching, what do I do now? I can't just stop. In one of the last sanzens, doksans, Shuko-san also was there, and sometimes I mix up her doksan with mine, but Joshu Roshi really impressed on us, never, never, never stop practicing. So it was time to go on. And I had the fortune to be the abbot of the Cambridge Buddhist Association in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which was in this old Victorian house that was purchased for the Cambridge Buddhist Association by Elsie Mitchell, and especially for a place so that Maureen Stewart Friedgood, Myo-on Chiko Zenni Daiosho, would have a place to teach. It was right in Cambridge, and actually when the house was purchased, the neighbors were not too happy. "What? Buddhists here in Cambridge? This is a residential neighborhood. You gotta be white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant, and have the right amount of money to live here." Maybe it's an or. So they tried to work with the city of Cambridge to not give a permit of occupancy so the sale would not go through. "We can't have the Buddhists here. It's a cult." And Elsie Mitchell got the last of them by saying, "Well, it's fine. If you don't give us a permit of occupancy, I'll tear down the house and make a parking lot." That was even less attractive than Buddhists. And so the Cambridge Buddhist Association was in that house for a very long time, from the late 60s until 2011, when it was sold because Elsie Mitchell passed away. And the board of the Cambridge Buddhist Association had other ideas of how to continue the CBA. It was fairly restricted being there. We were not allowed to have anything that goes overnight, so that's why we couldn't have Sesshin. The board didn't want that. One day, a letter came from Syracuse asking if Shingyo Roshi could stay over at the Cambridge Buddhist Association for a couple of days while coming to the Boston area to visit with her son, who was there. So I had to go to the board and say, well, may we? And it took some convincing, but it came to a visit. And Shingyo Roshi came back to the CBA because she had been there before. And Andy came also. It was quite interesting that Andy actually remembered growing up in Cambridge that he had a friend who he visited when he was a schoolboy, who lived in that house when the family lived there. So this is how I met Shingyo Roshi. She came, stayed over. Graciously, she offered a teisho and sosare. That was 2010, January 10th. Not much happened after that. In terms of contact, a couple of students from Syracuse were sent our way. Funerals needed to be conducted and memorial services for former Syracuse residents and students who had moved to Boston, especially from academia, who were in Massachusetts. And when the house was sold, a lot of artifacts became available that had to go somewhere. There were pictures of Hakuun Yasutani Roshi, for example, pictures of Soen Roshi. And so we packed them up and we sent them to Shingyo Roshi to bring to Daibosatsu Zendo. One of the things that I found there was the handwritten Myo On Chiko name Shikishi that Edo Roshi created for Maureen that found its way back here to Daibosatsu Zendo many years later. Joshu Roshi retired. And like Edo Roshi retired, both of these eminent teachers of Zen were human beings, as we heard. And they did not retire necessarily under the best of circumstances or light. It was a little bit easier with Joshu Roshi because saying that, well, Roshi, maybe being 105 is a good time to stop. His physical health was getting weaker. Sanzen or Doksan lasted for hours. My last Doksan lasted 45 minutes. And after that, the rest was canceled just because it was too much for him. So in my wish to continue with this practice, of course, Shingyo Roshi came to mind, and I asked if I could continue, if I could come to Sesshin here at Daibosatsu Zendo. And I was invited to come and to participate. That's now more than 10 years ago that I showed up in this place for the first time. And as Hokuto Osho spoke about places giving you the feeling of home, Mount Baldy Zen Center was such a home for me. And then coming here, a similar feeling of that quality of home was present. It was like visiting the cousins, you know? These are the Rinzai cousins. Oh yeah, and look, now at dinner, grandma's famous recipe. You look at it. It looks exactly the same. Yeah, this is the kind of dish she would use. And everything just the same. Wonderful. And then you taste it. Oh, it tastes just a little different. And this is what it is. Grandma is a couple generations away. Her recipe has gone two ways. Is a living recipe that carries grandma all along. But there's just a slight difference. And for me, it was a very, very important teaching not to stand on the point, we have grandma's real recipe, right? They don't know what they're doing. So, and especially when we are used to something, and then it is just a tiny, tiny bit different, yeah? That difference becomes a huge chasm that opens up that we still have to get over. And we have to close the chasm. And once it's closed, also there is no other shore. That's the same place. As Joshu Roshi's health continued to decline, I continued to come here and benefit tremendously. And when Joshu Roshi passed away, I officially asked Jingyo Roshi to take me on as a disciple. I had gone to the end of my being a disciple with Joshu Roshi when he passed away. So I had to look. It was my duty. And it was more than a good fortune to have met Jingyo Roshi, to have started to work with her in Doksan. And then it just was the next obvious thing to do. Please, please, may I ask you to take me on as a disciple? And so it happened. Thank you. Innen are the things, these connections that we cannot see, that we cannot know, that stir in the underground and then come, spring forth into life on the surface suddenly and become springs of life. One could have thought, well, what a miserable getting together. Here we have two people who studied with disgraced teachers who went through times where the Sangha on both organizations was in warfare with each other, or at least in deep disharmony. Another thing that really struck me is Jingyo Roshi's mother passed away very close to when my mother passed away. Then Joshu Roshi passed away. Just a few years later, Edo Roshi passed away. So these 10 years of coming to Daibosatsu Zendo have been a lifetime. And also, although I promised not to say anything, I do have to extend my deepest gratitude and Inexpressible. I don't even want to put a word on it, but I'm speaking about Shuko-san. None of us can do this alone. If it is in a relationship with the Dharma, with a teacher, with a partner, please take those relationships as the most fertile of all grounds for your clarity of vision and heart to grow. That is what it takes. Many, many people pass koans and go out into the world and ask and act like jerks. But I passed Mu. Yeah. I have to say what Bodhidharma said. Get out of here! We should never forget about that. This fertile ground of the heart mind is a ground out of which all of this can only blossom if we nurture it with compassion, with warmth, gratitude, softness, and dedication. There is this idea that love is a wonderful thing that just runs by itself. It is not. It needs to be attended to with attention. It needs to be given to selflessly. And it needs to be actualized. The realization of love is one thing. The actualization of love is what I would call a life well lived. So, enough of that. We do have a koan to attend to. We meet Koke Sonsho, one of the few successors to Rinzai Gigen. Every evening in the Tedai Denpo, right after Rinzai Gigen. Koke Sonsho, he lived from 830 until 888, a mere 58 years. Sometimes we forget how much shorter people used to live. I'm sure in the 9th century he was considered an old man at 58 when he died. He appears in four cases in this Shumon Katoshu, this entangling vine collection. He was born in Kuei-li in the province of Shandong, and his family name was Kong. At the age of 31, which is relatively late, which is almost half, more than half into his lifetime, he ventured to become a student of Rinzai Gigen. He stayed there for about 1 year and then went on an extended pilgrimage afterwards. But he returned back to Rinzai, to the assembly, and remained there until the master's death several years after he arrived. Koke continued to study after Rinzai's death by conferring with his fellow transmitted Dharma brothers who were heirs of Rinzai. Sansho Enen, and Daikaku especially. His name Koke comes, of course, from the place Koke-ji, the temple, which he led and for which he became the abbot. Koke is also very important because he's regarded as the compiler of the Book of Rinzai, the Rinzai Roku. Not only the compiler, but also the one who contributed the record of pilgrimages within the Book of Rinzai. That is Koke Zonsho. Sometimes it's with a Z, sometimes it's with an S, but it's the same character, Koke Zonsho. Now this monk comes up and asks him, what should one do when things come from every direction? It's a question unheard of, isn't it? What should I do? Everything is coming at me. We all have experienced that. Our whole society is experiencing that in these times. Everything seems to come at us together. Politics are falling apart. The planet is getting hotter and hotter. Some politics are getting worse, denying any contribution of humankind to these effects that we experience in more and more lasting intensity. Money is the only thing that seems to have the constant attention of those who have it. It's true, money is not a problem unless you don't have it. But all of that comes at us. This time is heralded as a time of information. We have the internet. Almost everything is available digitally. Oh, let me look that up. There it is. Then comes the time, maybe, should I just believe? It used to say, just because it's printed, it's not true. Just because you see some pixels on the screen means the same thing. It's not necessarily true just because it's printed. But then it got even worse. Wrong information is being put out on purpose. Partially to goad people, partially just to feed them what they want to hear. So the information society has turned into an affirmation society. And we go to the trough where we think that grandma's real recipe is. And we eat. It's such a paradox situation, if you think about it. We have all this information. And with all this information, we should be able to do sound things. And people should be able to pay attention to it. But what we did not figure into the equation is that information consumes attention. And when information consumes attention, attention itself becomes less and less abundant. And that is true in our lives as well. All the things, while we are not here in Sesshin outside, that require our attention. Sucks out the last bit of it. That's why it is so important that we come here. And not only here at the meal, the third reflection. What is most essential is the practice of attention. But in Zazen, to help that attention to renew itself, to help ourselves to renew the attention to what is. For some reason, this image has come to my mind of this desolate cityscape of blocks and blocks of tenements, gray and dingy, the wind blowing the trash on the street, people going in and out into those tenements, leaving in the morning to go to work, returning at night to put themselves into some kind of stupor, either with information that they consume from their affirmation source, or drink, or whatever. But there's this one door in the middle, that one place where the door is open and the light comes. And that is now. That is now. That is here. The trash blowing around and the tenements and the personalities going in and out of them. That's us and our concepts if we choose to live there. Wouldn't you rather go and enter that lit place? And maybe we find somebody who we can ask, what should I do when all the things come at me from every direction? The master said, hold to the center. Now this is interesting in speaking about translation. Here we have characters. It's not only that it needs to be translated, but it has also to be clearly interpreted, because just in the Chinese original, the character has multiple meanings. Multiple meanings. So this verb that I read here, which is rendered as hold, is a word that originally means also strike. Strike. Strike the center. Hit the center. And da is in Japanese. What does dashu mean?
Dashu.
Dashu. To go and buy booze. Dashu.
Oh.
Yeah? Been there, done that. Dashu. Hit the booze. Same character. Dasui. To draw water. When it's combined with grass, it means to cut weeds. When it is with a cart, it means to make a cart. Haven't I seen Keishu just recently making carts somewhere? So, therefore, another possible translation is aim for the center. Head for the center. Strike at the center. Not necessarily hold in a static kind of way. If hold, then in the sense of Rinzai's hold fast. Stay with. And what that means in our practice here, I would call intentionality or vow, but not vow in the sense of the determination of an athletic undertaking to reach a specific goal or to finish first or die trying to do it. Try, it's not that easy. Even if you feel like it, you might sometimes wish. But the intentionality, if you want to visualize it in a way, I would want to point you to the image of a sunflower. The sunflower, in its process of maturation, in the growing, greets the sun in the morning and with intentionality has vowed to follow that light until the sun sets. And by doing this over and over, the seeds form a new life, many new lives, many potential sunflowers come into existence. In our bodhisattva path, we do the same thing. We live that intention. No word is spoken by the sunflower. No vow is made, but it is the nature of the sunflower. So this might be one way to look at what Koke told his assembly. Why is everything coming at me? Well, you're the center of the universe. Your consciousness, you're hearing these words, feeling the wind, that's all there is. That is the bullseye. And you sit right on it. You are it. In my understanding, I have come to see this as what the middle way is. You are in the midst, in the middle of it all. Now it is up to you to experience it as an assault or receive it as a richness that offers countless opportunities to mature like the sunflower. But Koke was really also very kind, so he continued. Yesterday, as I was on my way to a dinner in the village, I was caught in a sudden storm with heavy rain and violent wind. So I headed for an old shrine and found shelter. When we look at these characters, some interesting things appear. When we examine the characters that are translated as a dinner in the village, it actually turns out that it points to an invitation to a vegetarian Buddhist meal. In Japan, it's known as Shōjin Ryōri. So those who are lucky enough to be in New York Zendo and have experienced that kind of cooking know it's a very, very special treat. So in this Chinese vernacular language, it points to something very auspicious that is going to happen. So what is Koke Zonsho saying here? Well, I was just heading towards this wonderful invitation with this great food. I came to Sishin to cut all the fetters and realize Anokutara Sanmyaku Sambo Daishin, the most supreme enlightenment. And on my way there, I was caught in a sudden storm with heavy rain and violent wind. I came, I sat down, and I realized that I am living a spiritual dumpster fire. How can this lead me to that dinner? All kinds of things happen. Even to the sunflower, the sun goes away. There might be sittings that we think are wasted. Ah, but by beating ourselves up afterwards, we extend that quality of sitting, which we might, with intentionality, just turn into a little different direction. It goes back to, well, everything coming from every direction. Even heading to this wonderful dinner, suddenly the storm comes, the wind blows, violent wind, heavy rain. What did he do? So I headed for an old shrine and found shelter. When the lightning starts hitting left and right, seek shelter. Not under a tree. We would run under a tree because we don't want to get wet. But here is where tradition and teaching comes in to the rescue. There have been people who ran under the tree, and some poor human being had to be the first one to be under the tree when lightning struck. And through that loss, the teaching of not running under trees when lightning comes emanated. So it is with all the teachings that we have here. Heading for the old shrine, following the teachings and finding shelter is not the destination. Also, we don't know if the master continued after the storm and was able to consume the wonderful meal. Now, here's what happens then with teachings. Oan Donge, many years later, Oan Donge, he lived, how is it? Do you see the inland working? We hear about Donge Zedo Zenji, who built the cabin Oan. And everything mysteriously falls into place so that Oan Donge appears here today. The name Donge, I don't know about Donge Zedo, but I assume it's probably the same character combination. Donge, the first character, on the top it has the sun, like for the sunflower, and underneath it has the character for cloud, and it means cloudy weather. And geika is like Shingyoroshi's ge, flower. And donge is a real flower. It's called Epiphyllum occipitalum. And it's a very special flower because it only blooms once in a long, long time. And not only once, but it blooms at night. And it only lasts for a few hours when it blooms. It is white like snow, beautiful, and has a fragrance like magnolia. And even though it looks like a flower, it falls in the family of the cacti. In the Buddhist context, it is said to be a flower that descended down from the heavens. And when it blooms, it is believed that the Nagas, those celestial beings, come down to earth from their heavenly abodes to pay homage to Shakyamuni Buddha. Epiphyllum occipitalum. Originally, it's native to Mexico and Central America, and it's also cultivated in China and India. It's not only beautiful, but the indigenous peoples of the Americas have used this night-blooming cactus as a topical remedy all along against rheumatism, itchy skin, and internally sometimes as a remedy for fever. Additionally, it's believed to be useful as a treatment to normalize heart rhythm. Several tribes here in the Northern Americas, in North America, Native Americans, the First Nations, use the stem of that donge flower to treat diabetes. Many of us have met somebody else whose name is Donge. Donge Shitsu. Donge Shitsu Shunan Noritake Rodaishi. Noritake Roshi's room name is Donge Shitsu. So this is Donge. Wonderful. This Oan Donge at 17 became a monk, began his Zen training under a Soto master who was named Shunan Shosui. Donge lived from 1103 until 1163, so just 2 years longer than Koke Zonsho 200 years before. But finally, he visited Engo Kokugon, who we heard about with the Blue Cliff record, who advised him to study with his own disciple, Kukyo Shoryo, who we also have in our lineage. After succeeding Shoryo's Dharma, Oan Donge served as a priest in a number of temples. He had a contemporary by the name of Dai-e Soko, who we hear a lot about, and this era of the Rinzai school really was so lively because of Oan Donge and Dai-e Soko. Donge is also the teacher of Mitan Kanketsu, the next person in our Teidai Denpo chant. And all of these are ancestors to this living lineage that you see manifest here at Daibusatsu Zendo. And if there is one sorrow that I really have with Joshu Roshi, it is that he had to experience that his designated successor, Shodo Osho, passed away at a young, much too young age, while Joshu Roshi was in America. It was devastating for Joshu Roshi to lose that, being able to pass on his dharma. At the time, Noritake Shunan Roshi, Dongi Shitsuro Daishi, was also around. There's a wonderful picture from 1972 when Mount Baldy Zen Center opened, and Yamada Mumon Roshi came with his disciples, including Noritake Roshi. And also Shodo Osho was there. Joshu Roshi asked Noritake Roshi if he would come and continue to study with him to become his successor. But in one of the addresses that Noritake Roshi gave after Joshu Roshi's passing, he said that he regretted not having been able to do that, but his parents at the time needed his presence in Japan. So all these stories are like bittersweet, like probably all love stories are. With the great actualized love comes inherently the potential also for the great actualized loss. And our capacity to abide with both is what this practice here teaches us. So before we go into what Donge had to say, I promise you it won't take long. Joshu Roshi was always in his high seat, and then there was a bell rung when the hour mark was met. Bing! And everybody, even the most ignorant SOB, had learned the Japanese word jikan, time. And something came with, oh, jikan inata. It's going to be over soon. And Joshu Roshi often used to say, ah, time has come and I'm supposed to stop, but I feel like talking a little longer. No, I won't do that. So, Oan Donge commented here. The assembly considered the matter, what was said, and said, taking shelter in an old mausoleum refers to the self that precedes the kalpa of emptiness, or to the place where Koke attained peace of mind and fully realized his original nature. This is called the activity of making things more complicated than need be. This is the fifth of these gray tenements in that landscape. Maybe it has some fancy trash outside that blows around in the wind, but it is still a very dingy place to live in. He points it out by giving this little stab into this activity by saying, little did they know that Koke, his purse filled with 100,000 in cash, mounted a crane and went down to Yangshu. Here again, we have to know something about a Chinese story that was very well known at the time. And that was that three men, probably after Dashu getting some booze, started talking about the wishes they had. The first one said, ah, I wish I could become the governor of Yangshu. Another one said, I would like to have 100,000 coins, be a rich man. And another would say, oh yeah, no, maybe this one had the most of that drink. I would like to fly on the back of a crane. So what it means if someone slung 100,000 in cash from their waist, remember the Chinese coins were on a string, got on a crane and flew off to Yangzhou to be the governor. That means all the wishes that there are would be fulfilled at once. Only two words come to mind for that. Fat chance. Good luck. So, trying to fulfill the wishes by taking occupancy in one of those dingy tenements is a choice that we can make. Living in the kalpa of emptiness, which is the kalpa that lies between the kalpa in which the universe is destroyed and the kalpa where the new universe comes into existence, is also a choice. Aiming for the center, which Kokei Zonsho tells us, is be at that open door where the light is, at that place where things are happening. If it's called this kalpa, that kalpa, if it is on a crane, with money, without money, in pain, in bliss. Please show up for it. And all the tenants of the tenements will be liberated.
This has been a Zen Study Society podcast. If you found it to be of interest, please consider making a donation by visiting zenstudies.org/donate. Thank you for listening.